Our egos are buried today. And I hope that before this service is over, that our thinking is opened. And all of us that needs to be touched will be touched by the word of a certain woman who has a message from God. A woman that has blessed us for many, many years, inspired us to soul winning, to prayer. Not only inspired us, but exampled it. She doesn't just talk this talk, she walks this walk. An anointed woman of God. I don't know what Sister Mangan, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, has to throw at us this morning, but whatever it is, don't you duck. Sister Mangan, we receive you in the name of the Lord. Whatsoever the Lord saith unto you, give it to us. Give this certain woman a certain word. Open us up, Father, to receive it.
Here. It's just a little while. It's just a little puff. It's just a little while. But after this, the judgment. But after this, the judgment. Soon, this life, this little vapor, this little hand breath will all be over and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with our loved ones and friends. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over His eternal joy to share. It's just a little while. Hallelujah. 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 It's just a little while. Jesus said to His little company of believers, "A little while and you shall see Me no more." But then again, He said, "In a little while, you'll see Me again." The Apostle Paul said it like this: "The time is short. The fashion of this old world passeth away." So don't let your dearest and most sacred relationships, don't let any joy, don't let any pleasure distract you. Don't let the severest sorrow stun you. Don't let buying and selling or cares of this life or any business investment possess you. It's just a little while. It's just a little while to stay here. Watch you therefore and pray always. You'll be so glad you did. Washington Irving gave the world the classic story of Rip Van Winkle. While hunting, he drank some brew that put him into a deep 20-year sleep. When he awakened, his world had changed drastically. What if you and I were to go to sleep and not awaken for the next 2 years? What will this old world of ours be like? The year 2000. In his book, future shock, Alvin Toffler gives some sharp insights into our world at the turn of the century. Except, one major thing is omitted from his story, and that's the possibility of the rapture of the church. What if Jesus Christ should return to catch away his bride sometime in the next 2 years? What are your plans? What are your plans? For the surest fact of our future is the coming of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, he's coming twice. He's coming the first time for his church. He's coming the second time with his church to establish his reign on planet Earth. And while this old world is busy setting goals for the new millennium, what if, just what if, a trumpet should sound and the sky would burst wide open in a blaze of glory, and our Lord should appear in the clouds to catch away his bride? It's just a little while. It's just a little while to stay here. It's just a little while to wait. At least 5 times in Paul's prison letter to the Philippians alone, he said, and he didn't qualify it, until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, for our conversation is even in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm doing everything I do down here so that I may rejoice and be glad at his coming. He said, everybody's running. Some even ran well for a while, but something hindered them. But he said, I don't intend to run in vain. Life is not a sprint. I'm running the full distance. I intend to obtain the prize. I'm not fighting as one beating the air. I'm not shadowboxing. I'm fighting a good fight. I'm aiming. I'm focusing. I'm hitting. I'm winning. I'm finishing right. It's just a little while. I don't intend to labor in vain. I will make a difference in my generation. I've just got one time around in this. There's no replays for me. I'm not even too strong here this morning. It's just a little while for me. Look out, devil, look out. Look out, devil, look out. It's just a little while for me. Paul said, I've got my eyes on the prize. I know what's laid up for me at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to live my life down here in terms of time. It's just a little shadow. It's just like a little tale that's told. It's just like a little swift passing post, a little running mailman. It's like the flight of an eagle. My God is at hand. Jesus is soon coming. It's just a little while. It's just a little while. Shout it with me. Shout it again. Say, the Lord's at hand. But after this, the judgment. Immediately following the rapture, you will find yourself at the judgment. Now, at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema. He was your Savior and is now, but then he's going to be your judge. And immediately John said, I want to tell you about it in Revelation 4 verses 2 through 6. I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as his eyes were as a flame of fire. His countenance was as the sun shineth in the strength. His feet like unto brass as if they burned in a furnace. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. And from his face the earth and the heaven fled away. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. I will be there. You will be there. I just described it for you. You will be there. Your name is in that book. Every New Testament believer will be there to be judged. Not for sin and condemnation, but for our works as born again Christians. And Paul says, every man's work, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. He said, knowing therefore that day, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, when the fire will try my works, I persuade men. This is the place, my brothers and sisters, where our lives as born again Christians will be given a thorough testing under fire. Many of our works will be destroyed by the fire of judgment, and we shall suffer loss. What a phrase, suffer loss. You know how people weep down here when fire breaks out and their homes and their possessions and their businesses and their lives are destroyed. People weep because they suffer loss. Can you even imagine the weeping that will take place when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where we shall receive our final rewards and crowns shall be given? There are 5 crowns to be given. There will be the martyr's crown, the crown of life for endurance. There will be the soul winner's crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of happiness. And everybody in this room ought to be able to get that crown. There will be the crown of righteousness for all those who fight a good fight, finish the race, keep the faith, and love his appearing. There will be the victor's crown. It's an incorruptible crown, enduring temptation, laying aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, that you might be a winner rather than an also-ran. There will be the crown of glory for every faithful pastor who feeds his flock, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When we realize how much our lives could have been, and how many rewards and how many crowns we could have been given, but were not, because we were so earthly minded. We were so content with so much less than what God had for us. We will weep. We will weep. Weep. Weep, for tears will not be wiped away until after the judgment seat of Christ in Revelation chapter 7. We could have been a 5 crowner, but we were not, because this old world was too much about every one of us. We were too busy either climbing the ladder of material success or reclining in an easy chair of home entertainment affluence or materialism stole from us that most precious commodity, a desire for God and for souls. So much of our lives are wasted. Wasted our substance. Wasted our daylight hours on things. Things which so soon shall pass away, while the eternal destiny of souls hangs in the balance. When in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls there may be. If any lost ones there should cry out in deep despair, "You never mentioned Jesus to me." Can you even imagine how we will weep, standing there with the redeemed of all ages, standing there with those who've left all, country, possessions, family, friends, standing there with those who refuse riches, treasures of this world, pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ far greater value, choosing rather to suffer afflictions, and others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, bonds, and imprisonments, were stoned, sown asunder, tempted, slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. There we stand with them. There we stand with them. And it's just a little while before you stand there. And there we stand with those who 2,000 years ago, at the beginning of the church age, turned this world upside down. They lit a light of this glorious gospel in every corner of the mighty Roman Empire. There we stand with his chosen disciples. All were martyred except John. And he was banished to Patmos to starve to death. But God gave him the revelation. One was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. One was executed. James, upon his refusal to publicly renounce Jesus Christ and his gospel, was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple, and they stoned him to death as he lay there dying from the fall. Another one's body was cut into pieces. Peter was crucified upside down. Philip was hanged. Thomas died by a spear thrust through him. They were boiled in oil. They were beaten with a cat of nine tails. They were cut to pieces by gladiators, torn from limb by wild beasts. So many of them were crucified along the Judean road or the Galilee road. Josephus said it looked like a forest of crosses. They were drugged through the streets, fed to hungry lions, used as human torches for sport, burned at the stake, all because they loved Jesus Christ and souls. Tell me, will you weep or will you rejoice? Jesus said there will be some shocking revisions at the judgment seat of Christ. Many that are first are going to be last, and many that are last shall be first. It's just a little while. It's just a little while to pray and fast. It's just a little while to win souls and snatch them out of hellfire. It's just a little while to go to church and support that church with everything you've got and support missions. It's just a little while. It's just a little while to serve others. It's just a little while. The time is short. Judgment day is drawing nigh. Paul said, that's my motivation. Whether beaten or stoned, whether in jail or out of jail, I am going to win souls, whether I'm hungry or cold. I've got one eye on this lost world, and I've got the other one on the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to do everything that I do so that I may rejoice and be glad at His coming, for it's just a little while. Shout that with me. But after this, stand up, you big tall man, and let that flow out of you that I just saw flowing. Do it out loud. Shout it out. Shout it louder. else ought to jump up and shout, it's just a little while. And while this world is busy setting goals for the new millennium, what are your plans? What are your plans? One group is planning to blitz this whole nation and Canada and put their Christian literature in every individual's hand in America and in Canada. What's your plans? It's just a little while. You don't have long to make up your mind, sir, ma'am. What we're hearing, you better hurry and do something about it. It's just a little while. Shout that with me again. Say it again. Say, disturb me. Shake me out of my comfort zone so I can reach my generation. Get my plans together. Get my mighty men and women together and turn my city upside down. It's just a little while. Jesus said, if you want to be happy in eternity, you'd better put your money, your time, your energy, and your talents to work winning souls, for my kingdom is not of this world. Now, can't you get that in your head? My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom's value system clashes with this world's value system. This world's value system is money, money, money. Money, but my kingdom's value system is souls, 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 souls. This world's value system is profit, driven by greed and the success obsession. But Jesus Christ violated every tenet of this world's system in his bloody death. Don't forget it. It's still the cross. The highest came to serve the lowest. The creator and sustainer of all things came to pour himself out even unto death. The one who possessed everything became nothing. It's the clashing of two sets of values. Jesus said, in my kingdom, if you want to save your life, then you've got to lose it. If you want to be lifted up and exalted, then you've got to humble yourself. If you want to be the greatest, then become a servant and be like the youngest. And if you want to be first, be last and a slave to all. If you want to live, put to death the deeds of your body. If you want to be strong, boast about your weakness. If you want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, become poor in the spirit. For what is a man profited? I wish some man would stand up and quote that for me. And let me save my strength. For what is a man profited? Can anybody in this room... I want everybody to say, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, something we don't know too much about, and take up his cross and follow me, because no man can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or love one and hate the other. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You cannot embrace two sets of values. Shout that at me. You cannot embrace two sets of values. And you love what you value. And our values determine who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Because of the times, 1998, we've got to hurry up and decide which value system we're going to live by. That's what it's all about, folks. You can just hear anything you want to hear. You got to make up your mind what value system you're going to live by. Come on, and everybody clap and everybody shout. I'm talking about this world's value system versus the value system of Jesus Christ. In a changing culture dominated by greed, a civilization gone rotten, wallowing in relativism, we're challenged every day by this world's value system. Instead of spending our time, energy, money, and talents on the values that Jesus says has great worth, if we're not careful, we will buy into this world's values and lose our own soul, lose our family, lose our all. Say, it's happening. Many who ran well for a while, many have turned to walk no more. This world's value system got a hold of them. It's just a little while. Don't get shook. Don't even let a question get in your mind. It's just a little while. Come on, come on, go ahead and clap your hands. That's it. There's not a question about it. It's settled. His way is right. His truth is right. His life, His example. I'm going with Him. I'm going all the way with Him. This world's not my home. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Goodbye. I'm soon out of here. I'm soon out of here. By death or by the rapture. And it motivates me. It keeps me right. I got my eyes on the judgment seat. How the church in the first century turned their world upside down. They lived out His values. It changed the Roman Empire and brought that mighty mistress to her knees. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like us getting all involved and tangled up in so much. I don't like it. We've been called to the building of His kingdom. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Did you really hear me? Forget because of the times. You've been called into the building of His kingdom. And reaching the lost with the only gospel that can save souls from hell. That's what we preach. And worse than compromising that is to not let somebody else have it and hear about it and know about it. If that's what we're here for, then why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Come on, somebody, and shout, why don't we do it? Oh, no, it's still too much about us. I'm sorry, it ain't getting a hold of you. I don't care if you don't shout and holler. I'm 72 years old. I couldn't give a care. This man buried his wife. He won't be too far behind her. It's just a little while. It better motivate him that he can walk through the gates of that city, stand with her at the judgment seat of Christ. Why don't we do it? Shout it, man, I'm out of strength. We cannot live by this world's value system and do it. We've got to have one consuming passion, single-eyed, single purpose, one plan, one goal, one ambition. Got your mind made up. Nobody's going to turn it. I don't care what they say or do. Ain't no need yapping at me. I wouldn't stop to pay you any attention. I don't care. I'm after another soul to snatch out of hell. I don't care. Going into difficult places. I'm not going to let this dope addict outstrip me. I'm not going to be a little traditional getting the Holy Ghost at 6 and bragging about it and let a dope addict come in here and outpouring me that stood up here last night. Not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. To think it. Say, I got to eat it. Say, I got to sleep it. Say, I got to see it. Say, I got to dream it. Say, I got to work for it. Say, I got to pray for it. Say, I got to plan for it. And then I got to go for it. There's not a single one of us stop what you're doing. There's not a single one of us who can sit back and feel satisfied. Not even you. If the Apostle Paul, who covered Asia in 2.5 years, weeping day and night in their streets, could say, brethren, I'm not satisfied. I count not myself to have apprehended that apprehended me. It's not the victories I've already gained. It's the victories that remain. It's just a little while. It's just a little while. And you're out of here, sir. And you're going to stand before the fiery eyes. And your works are going to be tried. Everything about your church is going to be tried. Everything you handled. Everything. If we're content when our church supports 5 or 6 missionaries, we'll never support any more. You ought to shout, I'm not content with the way I'm doing it. I'm going to be judged. If they went over there and sat down and didn't do nothing, I'd give my money to keep them leaving America. Everybody in here should have clapped. Do you want to go? We'll raise some money now and send you. Young men, you better get your mind made up. It costs. It costs. It's not a because of the time from here to there. It costs. Shout this with me. Say, it's not what we have done that is crucial. We've got to focus on the work that still needs to be done. The revival church is always on the hot trail of souls. Why stop? Why be content? If there's one lost sheep, go get it. If there's not a full house, fill it up. If there's an empty banquet table, go invite them. How many of the lost have you won? How many have you lifted? How many of the chained have you set free? How many of the hungry have you fed? How many of the naked have you clothed? How many of the sick have you visited? And to those in prison have you preached? To what extent have you interceded in prayer for souls? Have you exhausted all effort to reach them? God pity him who lives for self when the master he shall see. And Jesus says, as you've done it unto them, you've done it unto me. For 60 years Daniel served 4 powerful heathen kings. He had seen all the pomp and glory and riches and grandeur of Babylon the Great. It never fazed him. He closes his awesome prophetic book saying, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and forever. When every last star shall have fallen from its orbit, they who win souls shall shine forever and forever. Everybody shout it. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Just say that last clause. He that winneth souls. Brother Tenney, that'll be the great day. You great men of God, that'll be the great day. You'll be so glad you broke with tradition. when you could have climbed that ladder of success in that traditional world, but you chose this route, and you've submitted and you've humbled and you've walked and held on to truth. That'll be the great day. You'll be so glad. You'll be so glad, folks. You'll be so glad you gave it all up and you didn't hear any other voices. Everybody shout, yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, come on and shout it. Don't stop here for a few minutes. I'm going to get out of the way. Ezekiel chapter 9, the Lord called to the man with the inkhorn, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations done in the midst thereof, and slay utterly everybody else that don't cry and sigh and weep and travail and win souls, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. That's where everything begins. That's where judgment begins. That's where it all begins. Begin at my sanctuary. Clap your hands again. Mark them that have desire. Mark them that have fervency, importunity, perseverance, compassion, who will travail and intercede and agonize and weep for lost souls. Oh, God, I wish you'd pour out a spirit of supplication and intercession upon this people. What would happen here if a real spirit of intercession were to hit us? Just about through. I've got to get out of the way. Nehemiah said, when I heard the awful apostasy of God's people, they were past all caring and hope. He said, I sat down and wept. It is weeping time, Anthony. There needs to be more weeping in this church. Paul said, I preached with tears. I wrote my letters with tears. I prayed with tears. I witnessed with tears. But my big prayer, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might all be saved. I'll be accursed if I could. Nehemiah said, when I heard of that awful apostasy, I couldn't take it. It consumed me. I became desperate. I mourned. I fasted. I wept. Oh, God, that's what makes the heart of great men and women beat. That's what makes them what they are. Ezekiel said, you know, when all the people had been killed, I was left. I was spared because I had a burden for souls. I was left because I wept. I travailed. I interceded. I preached on when I buried my wife. I just went on a preaching. If everybody in this room today were killed who did not weep and win souls for Jesus Christ, would you be alive? Would you be spared? How many of you would be spared if the man with the inkhorn walked down every one of these aisles? I know why I'm alive and I know why I've been spared. I'm alive to pray and win souls. In my 30s, they said I was dying with cancer. I typed up every one of Brother Mangan's notes. I knew that that's all that would last. He'd bury his workmen, but his work would go on. I went to Anthony's bed and I put my hands on it and I wept till my sides were sore. And I said, God, if you're going to take me, pour everything I want to do into this boy and give him my burden, give him my desire, and give him my love and give him my ambitions, because I just want to live to pray. I just want to live to win souls. So God spared me. I'm alive to pray and win souls and back him up, even if he does call me down. I've been scared a little bit lately. I get hands laid on me. I don't think I love souls like I used to. Claire Clark and I went all over this city with some more. We'd go to places where they'd say, I'll kill you if you come back. You're breaking up my home. My wife wants to go that way. And I'd say, Claire, I'm scared to go in there. She said, I'm not. I'm going in there. She'd go in there and I'd say, Claire, you better be careful. She'd get down and look under the beds to see if there's hiding. She looked in the closets. I said, Claire, I'll go in the highways and byways, but I ain't going under the bed. I haven't prayed all the prayers I want to pray yet. I haven't won all the souls I want to win yet. These shoulders haven't caught buckets full of tears and moms and dads and weeping over wayward children and lost husbands and wives weeping on my shoulder. I want them to weep on my shoulder some more. These shoulders haven't caught enough tears. I want to catch some more. I haven't shed enough tears yet. I'm going to shed some more. I don't really have enough compassion like I used to have. And compassion is that something stirring inside of you that says, I've got to do something about this. I've got to touch God for these people. I've got to touch these people for God and touch God for these people. That's compassion. Compassion does something to relieve a person's problems or pains. Compassion cries out to God on behalf of others. Compassion drives us to intercession. Compassion gets involved. Compassion labors and sweats. Compassion gets dirty. Compassion is acquainted with grief, bears the sorrows, suffers the agonies, and is touched by the feelings of others' infirmities. Compassion cares enough to invest money, precious hours, in intercession before God for the hurting, the needy, and even the rebellious. And Jesus had compassion on them. He modeled it. If that's what we're here for, why don't we do it? If that's why I've been spared, I'd better do it. That's what I'm here for, is to weep and to cry and to spare souls. That ought to be what you get up for every morning, is to weep for souls. You're not here only to make a living. That's what you make a living for. That's what we're living for, to weep for our children, weep for our lost loved ones, weep for our leaders, national, spiritual, political. Can you imagine your child burning in hell begging for a drop of water? Can you imagine your mother that brought you into this world? Can you imagine her burning in hell and begging for a drop of water? Can you imagine your father who made you a good living and spared you? Can you picture him in hell? Can you imagine anybody burning in the lake of fire forever begging for one drop of water? There will be no revival until we weep with burdened, broken hearts over lost souls. We need to read again, Sinners in the Hands of Angry God. We need to read this little booklet again, when the man's eyes were so bad that he had to hold it like this to read his notes, and people clung on to the pews so they wouldn't fall into hell. We need some more preaching on hell, folks. We need somebody to get stirred up about their people going to hell. I wanted to talk a little more about it, but my time's over with. But you better get a hold of something that'll stir you about hell. There'll never be a revival until we love people and souls the way Jesus loved them. He never told anybody, I love you. I really love you. I care about you. He never told anybody that. He just proved it. He was a loving God in a painful world in human shoes. Stooping, serving, reaching, loving. Love of a different kind. Reaching a Zacchaeus and going home with him no matter what people thought. A woman of ill repute at Jacob's well while the disciples were in town eating a hamburger. Touching a leper and healing him. Casting seven devils out of a woman, telling her to run on. Eating with publicans and sinners. We've not really worshipped until we love with that kind of God kind of love. For the reality of our response to God in worship is tested by our response to human need in the streets. And when we discover God kind of love and share it, then we have truly worshipped. And only a few ever come to see this. That's the reason Jesus said that the way to eternal life is uncrowded. And the gates to eternal life is narrow. It's just a little while. But after this, the judgment. But that's the great day you'll be so glad you prayed without ceasing. That's the great day you'll be glad you wept with a burdened heart over lost souls and snatched them one by one. There are many things I will do in heaven. I'll sing in heaven and I'll be happy. I'll worship in heaven. I'll serve in heaven. But there's one thing I'll not be able to do in heaven. I cannot reach the lost. I cannot snatch them out of hell. It's already fixed. It'll be too late. It's just a little while. But after this, the judgment. I want to pray. It's a prayer I've already prayed. You can bow your heads or you can look right straight here at me, because I don't mind telling you I've already prayed this prayer. Lord, we confess our neglect of the thing we need the most is the thing we've done the least We confess most of us have been so busy that our hearts have been weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Lord, wrong ideas and values have cut us off from you. We've been greedy, hiding behind barricades of selfishness. Shackles have imprisoned the great purpose of your church. We've tried to isolate ourselves from the bleeding wounds of a blundering world. And in our self-sufficiency, we have not sought thy face. We've held conferences and services and ignored completely. We have frittered away our time and opportunities while the world bled. Our ambitions have blinded us to opportunities. We've bickered and sought to solve our differences only with self-interest. Make us one. Make us one. For we've forgotten you're soon to come, and after this, the judgment. Thank you, O Lord God of heaven and earth, for snatching us from the snare, uniting us to watch and pray with fastings often before it's too late. Thank you for WNOP that's trying to unite us around the world. We humble ourselves before your throne of grace and ask you to forgive us for our lack of prayer. Is anybody ready to cry out yet? I'll keep praying until you do. And for our failure to lead your people in concerted, fervent, unceasing prayer, let our homes and our churches become houses of prayer. Let your people called by your name rise up with the stubborn tenacity that you had in the days of your flesh that the early church walked in, and be what you've called us to be. Cause us to cast off everything that would oppose your spirit. Move us into a realm that pays a price, and lay hold of the kingdom of God. Baptize us, refill us with the Holy Ghost and fire, and a new impartation of the spirit of grace and supplication. Oh Lord, we humble ourselves before it's too late, for you're soon coming, but after this, the judgment.
Intercessory prayer, everyone to their knees, please, no one moving, and he wants us into intercessory prayer together right now.